they therefore were come together. They asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I want to speak today about witnessing. Jesus said to us, you shall be witnesses unto me. We are to witness about Jesus Christ, not about ourselves, not necessarily about our church or our ministries, but about Jesus Christ. And one of the ways we can live a fruitful life is by being a witness for Jesus Christ. Our theme verse says we ought to be fruitful in every good work. That would include prayer, to have a fruitful prayer life. That would include marriage, to have a fruitful marriage. That would include family, to rear children that hopefully love the Lord and want to serve the Lord. And that would include giving and so many good works God wants us to be fruitful in. But one of those works is in the area of witnessing and trying to win others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, you know, don't get all involved in prophecy. Verse 6, they said, you know, it's just the time that you're going to come and restore the kingdom. And we can have a lot of curiosity about prophecy. We can really get into it and become even distracted by the study of prophecy. But he said to them, it's not for you to know. In verse 7, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Now, there are some people on the radio who think they know. There's people who write books that think they know. They don't know. It's something that God has kept in his own power. And he's going to turn to the Son someday, maybe someday soon, the Son, the Lord Jesus, and he's going to say, go get your bride. And the rapture is going to take place, and we'll all go. Now, it's okay to study prophecy so you can be doctrinally accurate, and also so that it can inspire you and mobilize you to be a witness. But he did away with his idea of getting all these answers about prophecy in verses 6 and 7. He said, now this is what I really want you to do. He said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and in the uttermost parts of the earth, which would include Eden, New York, Evans, New York, North Collins, Hamburg, wherever you live. We are supposed to be witnesses unto Jesus Christ, witness for Christ, and tell people the gospel. Now, I want to speak about ways of witnessing today, ways of witnessing, and as time permits, I'd like to give you five different ways that you can be witness, that you can witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and be fruitful in this area of your life. I hear statistics, I don't know how accurate they are, but I've often heard them quoted by pastors, missionaries, and so on who study this, where as many as 95% of all of those believers in Christ who said they have had a born-again experience, trusted Christ as their personal Savior, where 95% of them have never personally led one other person to Christ in their life since they were saved. Now, that's not being fruitful. The Lord can use you. The Lord wants to use you. And the Lord will bless your testimony and your witness if you'll just try to lead someone else to Christ. So let's learn today about ways that we can witness and obey this commandment where Jesus taught us, you shall be witnesses unto me. Now, that word witnesses comes from a Greek word martus, M-A-R-T-U-S. That word is usually translated in our English language into the word martyr. You shall be witnesses unto me. You shall be martyrs unto me. Now, Jesus is not suggesting here that you go out and volunteer to be crucified or volunteer to be stoned to death or volunteer to be burned at the stake like so many believers in history have. But there are several ways that a person can be a martyr. One is, of course, by being faithful to Christ unto death. I know at the Columbine High School out there in Colorado when that slaughter took place and those two crazies went in there and started shooting people, that I got a book in my office about one of the girls. And And they put a gun up to her forehead, and they asked her this question. The witnesses said that they asked her, "Do you believe in God?" And she said, "Yes, I do." And he pulled the trigger and killed her. And later on at her funeral, it was brought out so clearly how that she had, as a young girl, grew up and received Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And she was a witness in that high school, and everybody knew it, and those two boys knew it. And when she was put to the test to be a martyr, she died for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's rare in America, but there are about 28 countries that we know of in this country that are putting believers to death for owning a Bible, for going to a church service, for trying to convert someone else to Jesus Christ. They're being put to death, not so much here in America. But there's another way we can die for Jesus Christ, and that is by being a witness unto him, being martyrs unto me. And he explained this word witnesses in verse 8, or this word martyrs, over in Mark chapter 8 in verse number 35. If you could turn there for a second. Mark 8, 35, he told us how we can be martyrs for the gospel. He said, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's." Whosoever shall lose his life, that's being a martyr, for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. That's the way to save your life, is by losing it for Jesus Christ and for the gospel. So you and I can be witnesses. We can be martyrs for Jesus Christ by losing our lives, not physically, but just giving our lives up for Christ and for the gospel. We should live for the gospel. And so let me give you five ways now that we can witness, that we can be these living martyrs, these witnesses for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And number one, I want to say, with your life. With your life. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul said, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." That word conversation literally means your lifestyle. Let your life be about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul is saying here, live for the gospel. Let your conversation, your lifestyle, be as becometh the gospel. Now what that means there is, number one, we need to be a good testimony. Be a witness with your life. Let your life be a good testimony for Jesus Christ. Let your life be something that is an open door that will want to bring people to Christ, not shut people out. Did you know one of the things that's probably hindering the gospel of Christ in America more than anything is the hypocrisy of believers in Christ? Their hypocrisy. Did you know that every American knows how a Christian should behave? Did you know they're experts at it? You ask any unsaved person, get yourself a clipboard, walk around and say, hey, and if they're unsaved, say, hey, how should a Christian behave? And they'll give you a pretty good synopsis. Now the reason being is because in Romans chapter number 2 and verse number 14 it says, "For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." The Bible says God has written his laws already into the hearts and the minds of unbelievers. That's why before you were saved and before I was saved, when we did wrong things, we felt guilty. Because we knew what was right and what was wrong. All up and down our road that we live on, there's neighbors who are unsaved. And yet the husbands and wives try to love each other. They try to bring up their children right. They try to bring up their kids to be good moral citizens. They try to keep their kids away from drugs. They try to keep their kids away from alcohol. They basically try to establish a Christian home. Why? God has written His laws in their hearts and in their consciences. They're experts on what Christians should be. So when we profess our faith in Jesus Christ, they got their eyes on us. They know how we should behave. And they might put up with humanity, but they won't put up with hypocrisy. And there's a difference between the two. We have got to watch our behavior. We have got to witness with our life. Our life needs to be a good testimony. By that I mean our words. Our words. If our neighbors hear us using profanity, if they hear us swearing, if they hear us yelling in anger at our wife, our husband, our kids, our parents, they're not going to say, boy, they're good Christians over there. They hear what we say. They see our dress. They listen to our music. They watch our behavior. They observe where we go and where we do not go. They see some man who's a born-again Christian walking into a bar or walking into a strip club on Saturday, walking into church on Sunday. That's hypocrisy. Don't send someone to hell by your poor testimony. It can be done. We need to be careful of our behavior. We need to be a good testimony. We've got to watch out for our habits. And I know there's some of you here who are struggling with tobacco. I feel for you. I've never had that struggle. I can only imagine it's very, very difficult, the addiction to nicotine. But for the sake of the gospel, you need to find the victory through Jesus Christ. And He can help you. I don't know if it's going to take long or a short time, but He can help you. And you're going to want to do that. Why? For the gospel's sake. For the gospel's sake, so that nobody sees you smoking and it turns them away from Christ. Those of you that are struggling with the question of social drinking, and believers in America especially love to struggle and debate about that subject of social drinking. If you believe social drinking is okay, and if you get in a debate with me and I don't believe it, and you win the debate, I would still tell you don't drink because one lost sinner might see you drinking and it might turn them away from Christ. Apostle Paul said, I'm never going to eat meat that was sacrificed to devils in his day. And he says, I'm not going to drink alcohol. And he says, I'm not going to do those things because I might offend one person who's seeking the kingdom of God. He said, I don't want to be a wall that keeps somebody from entering in. I want to be a door, my lifestyle, a door, a testimony that'll help people. And let me say something else. Our moods. I mean, if we go to work every day, we're in the neighborhood, we're in the school, we're just depressed. What's wrong with you? I'm depressed. That's not going to help bring people to Christ. I heard a great sermon one time called Moodiness is a Sin. The Bible says you ought to rule your spirit. It's a commandment. Rule your emotions. You can do it. I can do it. We don't have to blow off with anger, men. We don't have to be depressed. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I'm not saying there's not hard times. I just preached on that last Sunday. Life is hard. And I understand there's times you get sick, you don't feel good. I understand that. People will understand humanity, but not hypocrisy. There ought to be an aura of joy and happiness in general around the believer because they're saved from going to hell. They're going to heaven someday, and people ought to see that. It ought to be a marked difference. The change in behavior. One of the things about my dad that I noticed when he got saved is somehow I come up with a new father. I had a brand new father in my home. And man, there was a marked difference in his testimony. Something happened when he got saved. Men, we need to be a testimony with our life, our witness, our life. We should be careful how, ladies, just because it's going to be 80 degrees soon doesn't mean you undress and walk around half naked. That's not a testimony for Jesus Christ. You can dress comfortably, loosely, modestly in the summer, but somebody ought to look at you and say, why do you dress that way when it's 80? Well, I'm a Christian. The Lord saved me. He died on the cross for my sins, and I love him. And he said, my body's a temple, and I want to just be a good example. I'm no better than you are. Not looking down on you or anything, but I just want to be a good testimony. We can witness by our life. The old saying, our walk talks and our talk talks, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks. And it's so true. Our walk talks. We've got to watch the kind of music that's blaring out of the windows while we're driving down the road or out of our house. People are watching those things. We've got to be a good testimony. We've got to think. We need to be witnesses, martyrs for the gospel. We've got to think all the time. Somebody might see where I'm going. They might see what I'm doing. And I need to be a good testimony with your life. Number two, with your lips. With your lips. In Ephesians 2, 8, 9, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are saved by faith. But how does faith come? Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. People have got to hear the gospel to have faith in Christ. So somebody needs to speak the gospel. Romans 10, 14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Every man, every woman in this room ought to be a preacher of the gospel. And as you preach the gospel, God will open the hearts of those people. He'll bring faith to those people so that they can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, and faith is what saves the sinner. They've got to hear it. Don't send someone to hell by your silence. We have got to share the gospel. Now let me just say something here carefully about sharing the gospel. Don't wait till you're perfect or until you know it all to be a witness. In John chapter 4, there is obviously an extremely troubled woman that Jesus crossed paths with at a well one day. She has had five husbands, and now she's living with a man. She had some problems with relationships. She had some problems with lust. I don't know what her problem was. Maybe she had emotional problems. She was angry and a brawling woman and all these men. Who knows? But man, she was messed up in marriage. She was messed up in her spirit. She was prejudiced. She was bigoted. How dare you? Who do you think you are? A Jew asking me water? Well, I'm a Samaritan. She was bigoted and prejudiced. She was all messed up about worship. She said, we worship in this mountain, you worship in that mountain, yeah, we're right and you're wrong. The Lord said, no, worship's not done in a place. Sounds like people today. Well, our church is better than your church. Worship's not done in church. Praise the Lord in church. We are preaching and teaching and instruction. We care for each other. We pray for each other and so on and so forth. Worship, every one of us would do better off worshiping God outside of church. There's not a word in this book about worshiping God in church. And Jesus said, look, it's not that mountain, it's not this mountain, it's not where you worship. The Father's seeking such to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's how you worship. I could prove it. If I said, Sean, stand up and worship God right now. Sean, he'd probably do his best, but he'd be thinking about everybody here, saying, whoa, what are they going to think about me? Pastor put me on the spot. I'm never going back there again. But if Sean goes out in the woods somewhere, there's no people around, man, he can just raise his hand up and say, dear God, I love you. I just I'm amazed at how great you are. And I bless your holy name. This lady was messed up. But she didn't wait till she became Miss Perfect and knew all the answers before she started witnessing. Listen to me. I know people like that. I know people who say, I can't witness, I don't know what to say. This lady here, it says in verse number 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out into the city and came unto him, and skip down out to verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. Let me read that again. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, not her lifestyle. We talked about that in point number one. Work on that. But she didn't wait till she was perfect, but she spoke. She said, isn't this the Christ? And she pointed people to Jesus. And it said many of them believed. Look, people will believe on Christ. I can prove to you that you don't have to be perfect. I can prove to you that you don't have to have all the answers. You know how? Go out to the fair this year. Go to the booth at Dunker. Go to the booth at Hamburger. Just go out soul winning sometime. And you'll cross paths with somebody who's never seen you, never put your life under a microscope for 1 second, and you can share the gospel with them and they'll get saved. It's happened to me dozens of times. It's happened to some of you dozens of times. These people wouldn't know me from Adam. But it's the power of the preaching of the Word of God. Jesus said in John chapter number 17, he said that Father, bless those that will believe on me through their word. People are going to believe on me through their word. And he prayed for us in John 17. We need to witness with our lips. Now, it's okay to go ahead and learn. I got books over here to my left on soul winning, on presentations of the gospel. Learn a plan. I mean, that'll help you be more fruitful. But don't wait. Say, well, as soon as I give up cigarettes or as soon as I quit this or that. No, just start telling people about Christ while you're working on your life. Another way to witness is by our labor. By our labor. In Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, that's your labor, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. One of the ways that you can witness for the Lord is by your labor, by your good works. Now, some good works are supposed to be private. Three of them that I know of in the Bible. Prayer is private. Fasting is private. Giving alms is private. Everything else people should see. Now that doesn't mean you go around like this and say, look what I just did. No, but just as a part of your life, your labor should be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. He said, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, your labor, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You see, God has a work for every one of us to do, and that work in itself should be a witness. Labor for the Lord to the strangers. If you're going down the road and you see somebody with a blowout, stop by and say, can I help you? Can I help change your tire? Can I take you somewhere to get that fixed? Can I get you some gas if you ran out of gas? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Glorify your Father in heaven. That'll open up opportunities for you to witness to people. To your neighbors, maybe there's a widow living nearby you who needs her lawn raked, some flowers planted here next month or something, and nobody else will take care of her. To your family, to your fellow employees. Boy, you know, some guy at work says, I got to move a refrigerator. Just meant, hey, can I come help you? Help move a refrigerator. And you'd be surprised. I remember a lady that died last year, and I hope she went to heaven. I don't know, we tried hard to witness to her, but our church had 15 years prior to that given her a couch and a refrigerator and a stove and so on and so forth. And towards the end of her life, 15 years later, she started attending our chapel as she began to seek the Lord. Life ran out on her, and she started seeking the Lord. And when she came back, she said, I remember when the church gave me a stove and a refrigerator and a couch. I didn't remember that. I don't know why she'd make up a story like that. But I'm glad we did it. And God will afford you with opportunities. And all of us have some kind of a gift that we can attach to some ministry. You can go into the prison. The prisoners will appreciate you. Nobody else will appreciate them. But you can go in there and sing and preach, and they'll never forget you. You can go to the Hope Vale and give your testimony to the girls and do something for those troubled girls. Or you can go to the nursing home. You know, we were in the nursing home yesterday. Brother Marv and I saw a couple people there, and it just brightened their day. They remember that stuff. You could maybe get involved in the Sunday school class, the children's church, the Baptist Boys Battalion, the singles ministry, the girls' clubs, the kids' clubs, the bus ministry, the seniors' ministry, the care ministry. And by your works, you'll be a witness. By your works, you can make a difference. You can be a part of the Great Commission and influencing people's lives. This opens up hearts of people to listen to you. And they see that you care. We can be a witness to the Lord with our life, by being a good testimony, with our lips, by sharing the gospel, with our labor. And then with literature. Another way you can witness for the Lord is with literature. Passing out gospel tracts. Passing out flyers. Passing out Bibles. New Testaments. My dad got saved because of the consistent witness of two men at work that he was cutting meat with at the old A&P store down in Buffalo. And they were a good witness. And they left tracts. They left tracts laying around. And my dad would pick them up and read them. They gave my dad a New Testament. And they put radio preachers, good ones, on the radio during the day sometimes. And all of that worked on my dad. It took about 7 years. And finally, sitting on a rock by Cazenovia Creek with his New Testament open, it all made sense one day, and he believed on Christ as his Savior. Came home a new man. Literature is fearless. Literature is fearless. Doesn't matter if it's the richest, most powerful man on earth or the poorest little beggar. Literature is fearless in witnessing to that person. And many, many people have gotten saved through literature. More people get saved through hearing the gospel, but literature is another way that we can witness for the Lord. Wally Beebe got saved reading a gospel tract. Some of you don't know who he is. He basically started or perfected, if you will, the bus ministry in the United States of America back in the 1940s and 50s and 60s. We used to call him Mr. Bus. Jack Hiles once said this man was probably responsible for getting more people into churches than any man in human history because of the bus ministry. Somebody gave him a gospel tract one day, read it, and got saved. Praise the Lord. Literature. We've got literature all over the place around here. The Bible says God's word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. God said, "Is not my word like a hammer, saith the Lord, and like a rock. Ah, man, I'm going too fast here. Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a rock, a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces." That's power. That's power. We were out yesterday. We didn't really get into witnessing, Marvin and I. We got into some homes, several homes yesterday, and shared and asked people for their testimony. And turns out some of the people we went to see had already been saved, gave a good testimony. But we saw some people, a couple young people, teenagers, a couple of them lifting weights down in the basement. I gave a fellow a gospel tract. And I said, "Here, I'd like you to read this. It's something I wrote one time. It just tells you a little bit about the Lord Jesus Christ, how you can know for sure you're going to heaven someday. It did so much for me. Take some time and read it." I was about your age when I accepted the Lord as my Savior. The one guy kept working out, but when we left, the other guy was just standing still like a statue reading that gospel tract. Got to another house. The person we wanted to go see wasn't there. A teen girl was there. She was babysitting or something. And men, you never go in a house when the teen girls are all alone. Never do. All right? You stay outside. You leave. All right, I'm trying to help you here. You leave. But I said, "Before we leave, can I give you something to read?" I said, "This changed my life one day. I just want you to take some time and think about it. Tell so-and-so we were by, we said hi, but sometime in your life, take time to read through that. It'll do you so much good." Give out gospel tracts, literature. Literature. You can witness by literature. And last of all, just for the sake of alliteration, number five, you can witness with your liquidity. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You can witness with your liquidity. Your what? Okay, your money. Okay, your money, your testimony, that's important. Liquidity is your money. Ever see a liquidation sale? That's people who are trying to sell everything they can to pay off their debts. That's what the word liquidate really literally means. It means to pay off your debts, to settle your accounts, to get rid of a debt. Brethren, we all owe a debt. We all owe a debt. Somebody spent a lot of money on your salvation. I don't care who you are. You come up to me and talk to me later, and I'll prove somebody spent a lot of money for you to get saved. Somebody kept the church I got saved and open for 125 years before I walked in. It took a lot of money. But I'm so glad that church was open that day. And I walked in and got saved. Somebody's got to send a missionary over to the Philippines, Bulgaria, Togo, Africa. But you try to go there for free. Somebody's got to reach those souls. I like the quote. I don't know if you've seen the quote Pastor Seth put on the front of our missions bulletin. It says this, John Faulkner, a missionary of the Arabs, said, "I have but one candle of life to burn. And I would rather burn it out in a land filled with darkness than a land flooded with light." America's flooded with light. We need some people who go to lands of darkness, and it's going to take some money. We have a debt. Some of us have got to start recognizing that debt and start doing what we can to witness for other people. But the Apostle Paul realized this. He said of himself in Romans 1 and verse 14, "I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." He said, "I am a debtor. I owe a debt. And I aim on paying my debt by sharing the gospel with other people." And one of the ways we can do that is with our liquidity, that is with the means, the money that God has given us, by supporting missions, by printing literature. You know that tract you got that you read that you got that helped bring you to Christ, that New Testament someone gave you, that book someone gave you, that Bible somebody gave you, that evangelistic tent meeting somebody put on, that church somebody kept open, that bus somebody ran. All of that costs people money or time. There's no such thing as a person getting saved but that it costs somebody some money. I was given opportunities here, I don't have them here, this week about radio. Radio stations that are being put up in places like Baghdad now, amen, Lebanon, Syria, beaming into the Muslim countries. I'm talking about fundamental independent Baptists. And the only thing they need to get more up and running is money. That's all they need. And there will literally be millions and millions of people listening as the water of life for the first time ever flows in their country. I met a guy on the way back from Israel. We were on this big plane. When you're on a 15-hour flight, you do a lot of walking around. You don't just sit there. He had a name tag on it that said Art. And told the thing he was with, I said, "Hey, you're Art?" He said, "Yeah, I'm Art too." I said, "There's not many Arts left. We got to stick together." He started laughing. I said, "What do you do, Art?" He says, "Well," he says, "I'm actually into missions." And I said, "Wow." I told him I was a pastor, and we really had some good fellowship. He said, "Pastor, let me tell you a story." I said, "Go ahead." And he says, we set up this radio station about 30 years ago in India, and we were beaming into this area where we knew there was no churches. And we were beaming the gospel in there. And he said, we didn't know if anything was happening. But all of a sudden, people started trickling out. And we found out they were saved. And he said, "You're kidding." He said, "Yeah." He says, we're not only saved, but we've got a church back in there now that's running thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And he asked, "Well, did somebody come back there and share the gospel with you?" He said, no, we started picking up this radio station. This radio station started teaching us and instructing us and discipling us, and we ended up getting Bibles, and we got pastors ordained in buildings now, and thousands of people saved. Brother, that takes money. It takes money. But we can witness by our liquidity. By our liquidity. My wife and I try to give a lot to missions every week, and many of you do too. We're doing the best we've ever done this year in missions, but we could do so much more. Now, in closing, don't take these five today and say, let's see, we'll witness by our life, be a good testimony, by our lips, by our labor, by our literature, by our money, liquidity. I'll do this one. Now, that's not the message this morning. The message is to be a martyr for this thing called the gospel. Give your whole life to it. Say, I'll give my life. I'm going to be a good testimony. I'm going to be a good testimony in the school that I go to. Well, somebody will laugh at you. Yeah, no kidding. They're going to mock you out. They're going to think you're crazy. They're going to think you joined a cult. But there's other